Right, thank you. Okay, welcome. I can't see anybody. Okay, Happy New Year. How about you turn to the person beside you, in front of you, behind you, say, Happy New Year. There we go. That wasn't hard, was it? How about turn the other side and say, Happy New Year. There we go. All right, that's great. It's very good today that it's January the 1st. And we get to start off this whole new year in this way, you know, we have a chance to begin with God and begin to launch into the new year. So this is obviously the first of the year, first of the month. So we're going to break bread today, later on. And in the New Testament, actually, that phrase, break bread, is used in two ways. And sometimes it's hard to figure out. A break bread sometimes means celebrate the Lord's table, communion, together. We're going to do that, 11:45. That's part of it. And secondly, we're going to have lunch. So in the New Testament, when they talked about breaking bread, it can mean one or both of those things. Can mean eat together, eat lunch, a meal together, and can also mean have communion, remember the Lord. And I believe often in the early church, those two things were combined. So that's great. Today, we're going to combine them, except we're having the communion in here, and we're going to have lunch out there. Then we can include the kids and everybody. Okay, well, I'd like to welcome you. I'm glad you took the time today. Some, I know, were up late last night. You know, they wanted to see the new year, see what it would bring. Me, I went to bed. You know, I figured 2017 would arrive whether I stayed up or not. So, I had some rest. All right. So, maybe you're different. That's okay. All right. So, this morning we're going to do something a little bit different up here. My name's Nigel, and there's a team of us, minister week by week. Today we're going to have a tag team. I'm going to begin. I'm going to hand the baton off to Ian. So you've got a tag team. I'm up first. He's up second. And between the two of us, you know, what I don't do, he's going to make up for. All right. So what I'm short of. And that's great for me. So, all right. Okay. So, all right. Our topic today is last week we talked about the birth of Jesus. Jesus came into the world. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's God's gift. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. He's God's gift to us. And that's the beginning of the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it continues. Jesus grew up and he began to meet people's need, and a key thing is Jesus changed people's lives. So we want to just spend 1 week and touch on this matter. People were changed when they met Jesus, when their path and the path of Jesus Christ crossed, when they intersected. Many times there was a change in the people who met Jesus, and Jesus is still doing the same thing today. When we meet Jesus, he's the changer of lives. He wants to change our life. And even more than that, not just change us by, you know, we cross paths, then, Jesus goes his way, we go ours, and that's an event that happens. He wants to change the course of our life so that, in fact, our paths would not just intersect, our paths would converge. We would become followers of Jesus Christ. So when it's not just a passing, it's a merging of our path with his path, and that's the best path, the life that God has for us. That's the best. Okay, and we like to illustrate that. There's a number of cases we could use. We're going to use the case, a particular case, which comes up in several of the Gospels. It's a man whose name was Bartimaeus. Okay, and we have the verses. It's a short story. And it comes up, and then we're going to use the Gospel of Mark for this this section. So let me just read it to you. Bartimaeus was blind, and he met Jesus. He received his sight. He not only received his sight, he became a follower of Jesus, right? So we want to pick up both those things, because you may say, you know, I'm not blind. I don't have that problem. I don't have major problems. Still, we want to meet Jesus, and the course of our life can be changed. And that's what Jesus wants to do. So let me read it to you. You know, next month I'm going to have cataract operations. So that's, I'm not Bartimaeus yet. But, okay, so I'm going to read from here. You can read from there. Okay, I hope they'll match somewhat. Okay. So they, Jesus and his disciples, they came to Jericho, and Jesus was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd. So there's Jesus, his disciples, a large crowd. Bartimaeus. And Mark tells us the name means son of Timaeus. Bar means son. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. A blind beggar was sitting by the road, by the roadside. When he heard that Jesus the Nazarene, that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out, "Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me." Many people told him to keep quiet, but he was crying out all the more, "Have mercy on me, son of David." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man and told him, "Take courage, get up, he's calling for you." Bartimaeus threw off his coat, his cloak, jumped up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "My teacher, Rabbi, Rabboni," the blind man told him, "I want to see." "Go your way," Jesus told him, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he could see. He got his sight and began to follow Jesus on the road. Okay, that's the verse. That's Mark's account. There's account in Matthew, in Luke, but this is the main one. All right, we like to look at this case. You know, when my children were young, they're much older now. At nighttime, each one of them, we'd tell them stories, and regular stories you run out of pretty fast. The Bible has many good stories, and I would tell them stories, including this one. I remember this one. This was one of the good ones. I like to tell my kids this one, and I'll tell you why as we go along. Okay, so this is actually Jesus went around preaching, teaching, healing for 3 years and some months. And this section we picked up today is right toward the end of that 3 years or so. And Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's almost there. In Jerusalem is where he's going to be crucified. He's going to die. He's going to resurrect. So we're not quite there, but we're getting very close. And right on the way, final journey, final stage of the final journey, Jesus is going through this other town called Jericho. Next to last stop, he's passing through this town, and he's going to go to Jerusalem. That is going to be the end of Jesus teaching, preaching, healing people in the way that he did, that's recorded in the Gospels. Okay? So, of course, Bartimaeus, this man and the other people didn't realize, we know, looking back, of that history. But actually, this is the last chance. The last chance, last opportunity. Jesus had been traveling. Depending where you were, you may have many or few opportunities to meet him. If you're in the north up by Galilee, you probably had more. This Bartimaeus was not up there. He's down in Jericho. And there's not many times Jesus came by Jericho. This was the last time. And it's the last opportunity this man would have. And probably he's heard things. Jesus' reputation spread. And no doubt he'd heard how Jesus helped the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear. And, you know, he helped people with spiritual needs, psychological needs. And he'd heard about that. And he's a blind man. All he knows, he's begging. He can't work a job. He's dependent on others. He sat by the roadside. I think we have a picture representation of the, you know, he's sitting by the road as he usually did, right? And he's begging. He's asking for help, asking for money, donations. That's what he needs to live, and that's what he hopes for. That day, he heard, maybe other days, crowds came by. This particular day, he realized, just from hearing, there's a lot of people passing by. He doesn't know why. Maybe he asks, and he finds out. Jesus the Nazarene, is passing by. And actually, that term, Jesus Nazarene, was not the best title designation for Jesus. It was kind of despising. You know, Jesus is from a small town, hick town, you know, from the sticks. That kind of, designation. Jesus the Nazarene was coming by. But to Bartimaeus, here's my hope. Here's an opportunity. So he heard Jesus is coming by. There's a whole crowd of people being blind. He doesn't know. Is Jesus gone before? Is he in the middle? Is he in the back? I don't know where he is. And there's a lot of people. So he starts yelling, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's yelling, right? He can't go to him. He doesn't know quite where Jesus is. He's yelling, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people there are bothered. The people are saying, you know, you're disturbing us. You're bothering us, you know, noise pollution. Be quiet. Shut up. You know, he's an important person. He didn't have time for you. Bartimaeus doesn't listen. Praise God. Bartimaeus realizes, you know, this is my chance. This is my opportunity. You know, I heard about him. He's here. I heard he helped people. He healed them. This is my chance. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David. You know, and I used to tell my kids, my kids were in bed, I'd get to this point, I'd say, Jesus, I'd be telling them the story. Jesus, Son of David, help me. Jesus, Son of David, help me. And they say, Dad, go on. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Jesus, they say, Dad, we heard that. I said, yeah, but he needs Jesus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, they say, Dad, what happened? I said, Jesus, have mercy. Why? You know, you got to get the point. He was desperate, and the people would say, shut up, be quiet. You know, you said that before. No, he is desperate to get, he wants Jesus' help. Amen. If you're desperate, you'll get it. It's worth trying, and it's worth, you know, praying. Jesus, help me. Jesus, do something for me. You know, because we're also in that situation, right? Jesus has something, can help us. Jesus can change us, right? We need to be like that. And, you know, today, that day, there were many people obscuring, you know, between him and Jesus. Jesus is there, but so is the whole crowd. And there are people telling him, be quiet, shut up. People there between him and Jesus. But he knows, I need Jesus. You can't help me. And that's, maybe you're a hindrance, but I need Jesus. And friends, I like to tell you today, we need Jesus. Please, don't you be distracted. Don't be frustrated by people. And don't be prevented by people. The people will tell, maybe you want Jesus and people will tell you, oh no, you know, that's a religion. That's just a religion. All religions are wrong. All religions are no good. Or all religions lead to the same place. People give you a lot of opinions and people will tell you there's another way. Don't be frustrated by people. And people will tell you, well, Christians are hypocrites. Look at so-and-so. Look at Donald Trump. Is he a Christian? Look at Hillary Clinton. Is she, you know, a lot of people's concepts, surprising who people think of. Then they say, oh, isn't North America, isn't it all Christian? Answer, no, it's not. Isn't Canada a Christian country? No, it's not. No, there's a lot of things could obstruct you, frustrate you from finding Jesus. Don't be frustrated. You want Jesus. Don't look at others. Look at Jesus. Don't call out for others. Call out for Jesus, and Jesus can change you. That's this man. Then Jesus, okay, Jesus stopped and said, call him. Call him. Right? If we keep calling, praying, seeking, we will find Jesus and we'll meet with him. Jesus had him brought. Then the people changed. Before the people had saying, be quiet, shut up. Now the people say, oh, he wants you. You better go. Now they're encouraging. Don't just go with the crowd. Don't go with popular opinion. It goes this way, that. People are fickle. Opinions are fickle. No, we want Jesus. Be like him. We want Jesus. Jesus came to him. What do you want me to do? He said, I want my sight. He gave him his sight. Jesus gave him his sight. More than that, Jesus changed the course of his life. And I like to emphasize this point, the end of the story, right? It says, Jesus said, go your way. Jesus said, go your way. In other words, you're free to go. You had a need. I met that need. You were blind. You didn't have sight. Now you've got sight. You're free to go. He didn't just go. He didn't continue on his way and let Jesus go his way. No. What does it tell us? It tells us immediately he could see and he began to follow Jesus on the road. Many people, Jesus had, there's lame people walk, there's people with leprosy got healed, there are people, paralyzed people were able to walk, deaf people were able to hear. Many of them, when Jesus healed them, they went on their way, they were healed, they were helped, but they went on their way, and Jesus went on his way. Their path intersected with Jesus, and then their path diverged. And did they meet Jesus? Yes, they did. Did Jesus change their life? Yes, he did. And he's willing to do that. He's gracious. And that experience was real. But more than that, there's a number of people. They met Jesus. Their path intersected with Jesus. But then the course of their life changed. They didn't just continue their way. They went on the way of Jesus. And that's what makes the difference in this case. Bartimaeus was healed. Then he followed Jesus on the road. Jesus is going where? Jesus is going to Jerusalem. That's where I'm going. Bartimaeus became a follower of Jesus. And that's what the Lord, that's what Jesus wants to do with us. He wants to save us, help us, heal us, change our life. More than that, he wants us to become followers of him. This is why many Bible scholars believe. Why is Bartimaeus named? Most of the people Jesus healed, you don't know their name. You know they're blind, they're dumb, they're deaf, they're paralyzed, they have some problem. You don't know their name. Bartimaeus, we know his name. Why? Because he became a follower of Jesus and he became a witness to Jesus. And when Mark wrote his gospel, he wrote down the name. By that time, he told, you know, this is what Jesus did for this man. Next time you're in that area, check it out. Go meet the Christians. When you're with them, check it out. Ask for Bartimaeus. He'll tell you his own story. Here's a couple of quotes, right, from different scholars. Bartimaeus is, in fact, the only person healed in the synoptics. Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He's the only person healed whose name is given in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark. By the end, Jesus has transformed Bartimaeus from a beggar beside the road to a disciple on the road. He began sitting by the road begging. The end of the story. Yes, he's got sight. More than that, he's not just somebody with restored sight. He became a disciple, a follower of Jesus. That's what Jesus wants for us. I think we have another quote. Let's see. Mark's story of Bartimaeus resembles the story of the call of a disciple as much as it portrays, as much as or perhaps more than the story of a healing miracle. This story account is not just a healing, it's the calling of a disciple. Bartimaeus was healed, but don't just get that. Bartimaeus became a disciple, a follower of Jesus. I think we have one more, maybe. Maybe we don't. That's it. Okay. So, you know, for us, the same. You know, we're starting a new year. I hope this year, you know, we hope we would have many interactions with Jesus Christ, that this year, you and I could all be followers of Jesus. We want Jesus in this year, not just January the 1st. You know, some people go to church a few times a year. Okay, New Year, I'll go to church. Easter, I'll go to church and see you. We hope, you know, and maybe with Jesus, their interaction with Jesus is about the same. We hope this year, you and I, all of us, we will be disciples, followers of Jesus on his way, on his road, right? Let's decide. You want a New Year's resolution? I want to follow Jesus. Amen. We ask Ian to come up. Sorry, I think I went a little bit over, but not too much. But let's decide to follow Jesus. Thank you. All right. And Ian's going to help us with some ways.
You know, I've been following Jesus now since I was 18. So just a couple of years ago, I started following Jesus. What is so funny? I don't... You know, here's what I found. As I'm following Jesus, I often, and you're probably the same, you get these promptings inside. Sometimes they're bizarre. You know, you kind of think, where is that coming from? But they don't stop. They're just promptings, they're urgings, and you feel like, wow, why am I getting pressed in this way to kind of go that way, to do that, or maybe to stop doing those kind of things? That's a way that God speaks to us. And if you've kind of found that that's the case for you, then I wonder if you've also noticed that around times of change, you get those promptings as well. And you know, today, we all know, this is New Year's Day, 2017. I wonder how God has been prompting you, urging you, over the last little while with regards to your journey going forward. I just want to let you know this. Here at Church in Toronto, our heart is very, very simple. Our heart is, as far as it goes for you, is just we could support you as you obey those promptings in your hearts. That's all we want. We want you to become followers and disciples of Jesus. And what's most important to us is when you've got that prompting and that urging in your heart to do something for God, we'll do whatever we can to help you and strengthen you so you can actually do it. So we thought we would give you, since it's January 1st, the beginning of a new year, let's consider what those promptings might be. I know these have been promptings that I've had over the years as, you know, new years are beginning and things like that. Let me tell you, reading the Bible. I don't say this to condemn anybody. I'm not going to ask, how is your Bible reading? That's between you and God. But I'll tell you this. We just looked at the story of Bartimaeus. I'll tell you this. There's no better way to get sight than to have the Word of God regularly in your life. So You know, at this time of year, a lot of people like to do new Bible reading. I'm going to read the Bible in a year. Actually, I just started one with some of the young people at this church. We're starting a brand new thing. We started, I think it was December 29th, and we're going to go through. We're going to read the Bible in a year. And maybe that's the way you're thinking. That's what you'd like to do. So I'm going to give you a couple of examples of how you can do that. For instance, the one that I'm reading is called the Read Scripture app. So you go on your phone and it doesn't matter whether you got Android or you got Apple, you can get the app right off the stores, and you can follow along every single day. And here's the really cool thing about this particular Bible reading program. It comes with videos. But these videos are really, really good. I got an example of, not the video, but just I have a picture of what one of the videos looks like. They are so well done. And I mean, I wish I had the time this morning to show you, but this is the book of Genesis sketched out for you so you will never, ever forget this book again. And so many of us, we read the Bible, and by the time we're done, we're like, well, I've got a couple of the stories, but this helps you tremendously with your understanding. I was with those young brothers the other day that I told you about. And you see up in the left-hand corner there, there's a snake that's biting a heel. The one brother said, I got to know about that. Where is that? So if you're the kind of person who's maybe you've read the Bible a couple of times and you want more understanding, this is a great app for you. This is a great thing to go through. Now, if you don't have a phone, Nigel, you can still do the same thing online. If you've got you have a computer, right? You have the internet. Whew. Okay, he is in 2017. Okay, good. You can go online. You can go to their website and you can follow along just the same way. You can get all the videos. Really, I would encourage you. Go there, have a look at it, especially those of you who are tech savvy. Okay. For those of you who are less tech savvy, I don't even have my Bible with me. And you have a Bible. An actual physical Bible. Dell is doing a program right now that he's finding is really, really helpful. He reads one chapter from the Old Testament every day, one chapter from the New Testament every day, and one psalm. And in that way, he will finish the New Testament in a year. He will finish the Old Testament in 2 years, and he will finish the Psalms many, many times. But it's a different approach, and there are so many different approaches. There's one that you can do 5 days a week. You get the weekends off. The point is, read the Bible. If God is urging you, be in my word more consistently in 2017, we're just trying to help you to do that. Find a way to follow. Another area that we feel, you know, that God may be prompting some of you is just in church attendance. Have you been regularly attending? Again, the Bible is a great way to get sight, but church attendance is a critical way to get our sight, to get different perspective. So maybe you've been kind of occasional, but the Lord's been prompting you, saying, you know what, you should just be more consistent for that 11 o'clock service. Then just do it. Do that kind of thing. If God is prompting you in that way, and maybe you've been coming to the 11 o'clock for a while, and you say, you know, I'm looking for something more. We have a 10 o'clock time for classes. Come to those. However the Lord is urging you, prompting you, I would encourage you to do that. One of the things that people mention about to us when they come here is, you don't pass the plate. You're not like normal churches. You don't have a plate that goes around to take offerings, to take money. You're right. We don't do that. We have a different system. We have these envelopes here, and there's an offering box right outside that door over there. Turn to your left. That's the way we do it here. But maybe the Lord has been encouraging you, prompting you, urging you, would you begin to give? then do it. We're not here, trying to, we need this amount of money. No, we want you to follow God. Become a disciple of Jesus. Follow him the way he's leading you. So these envelopes, you can find them just outside the door if that's the way the Lord is leading you. Two other things I wanted to mention. Small groups. Every week we have small groups. You know, what you hear here on Sunday morning is on one level. But when you're in a small group, you get to be with other Christians. Find out what's going on in their life. Pray for them. Support them. Also ask questions about the Bible that you just didn't get when, Ian was just kind of going on and I didn't quite get it. That's the way to kind of digest. So small groups, this is in process right now. We actually do still have a few of these green cards left. They highlight some of the small groups that are going on from Tuesday to Saturday all over the city. It's getting revised right now, so we'll have them very, very, very soon. Just check those kind of things out. There's probably something in your area and probably on a night that you want that you're looking for. Last thing is this, serving. God may be prompting you, maybe you're thinking, I want to serve at this church, and I just don't know where to start. So let me give you a couple of really simple ways to start. We have a coffee service. We have meals. Nigel just mentioned we're going to have a meal. You can bring a meal. That's a way of serving one another. You could start with greeting. We have greeters who welcome you as you're coming in. You can get on those teams. You can get on the ushering teams. There's a number of ways you can take a small step to start serving. And the best part about those services is they're not every week. They're on a rotational basis, and so you can do that. But maybe you would like to be involved with kids or be involved with youth. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. That takes a lot more commitment. But if that's the way that God is urging you and prompting you, do it. So if you have any questions about working with youth, working with the children, please talk to me. I really would like to help you get connected there. This card here, which is the yellow card, these cards are all outside here. If you get these cards, it'll show you on the back the different places that you could begin to serve. Could we have the musicians come back up? We're going to transition here now. There's a lot of different areas that you can serve in this church. Don't feel that, it's just, there's no place for you. There is a place for you. Please follow. Follow how the Lord is urging you and prompting you, and then do it. Don't just say, yeah, I want to do it. And isn't that the way it goes a lot of times when we have these new starts? I'm going to start reading my Bible. Genesis 1 has probably been read more times than any other chapter in the Bible, because everybody has a good start. You got a lot of opportunity. Follow those promptings. We're going to have the Lord's table. This Lord's table is, it is something that God asks us to do. This is a new beginning. This caused an absolute new beginning to happen in the entire universe, where Christ, Jesus Christ, went to the cross and died for us. That gives us a new beginning. And what God asks us to do is, when you come together, remember this. Remember this and declare this, that a new beginning has taken place. Now, this Lord's table is open to all Christians. If you're here this morning and this is not your regular place that you come, but you're a Christian. You have received Jesus. You know he is your Savior. When the elements come around, when the bread and the wine come around, please feel free to take them. If you're not sure if you're a Christian yet, please, you don't offend us by just letting it go by. Okay, just pass it on to the person next to you. Okay? All right, let's have a little singing. Thank you.
For those of us who have followed the Lord, it's always about the grace that, of God that we come back and remember all the time. It was an amazing grace in how we got saved or how we're come here and following Him now. So we'll just sing about that for a bit.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. To
Father.
Oh, how could it be that my God
Well, we're going to have lunch together. Good way to start 2017. Please, if you, you know, if you feel awkward and you feel like, oh, I didn't bring anything, I didn't know, it's okay. There's plenty. Just stay and enjoy and have fellowship around the tables. And yeah, it's good. Good to do that. Are there any announcements for next week that we know of? Regular schedule, 9:30 downstairs, 10 classes, 11 our regular service. Okay, let me just pray for us and then we'll be ready to go. Father, we just want to thank you so much for speaking to us this morning. Thank you for your grace that is awakening our hearts and awakening our understanding that we need to follow you. You're not just interested in intersecting with our life. You're interested in us following you. And God, at the beginning of this year, we'd like to make that commitment to you that our heart is to follow you in 2017. God, you're going to take us through some amazing things this year, some hard things, but one thing we know, you will never forsake us and you will never leave us. For this, we worship you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Oh, thank you for the food. Amen. Amen.